Issues, Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, is author of our Book of the Month for November, 5 Things You Can Do to Live a Jesus-Centered Life. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase 5 Things You Can Do to Live a Jesus-Centered Life by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for November, 5 Things You Can Do to Live a Jesus-Centered Life.
Well, the prophet Daniel tells about 3 men who walk with God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Before the wicked king they stood. Now the king commanded them bound and thrown into the fiery coals that day. But the fire was so hot the men were slain, forced them on their way. They wouldn't bend, they held on.
Well, this is a story that we often hear about. The 3 men in the fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There they are, standing in the furnace, untouched by the flames, unharmed by any of it. They emerge alive when they should have gone in and died almost immediately. And of course, it is the king who peers into this fiery furnace and sees not just the 3 men walking around just as though they'd walk around any ordinary room, but he sees a 4th man in there who is that 4th man. And is this Sunday school lesson about the great courage? Is it about the intrepid faith of the 3 men? Or is it about something else? The story begins with Nebuchadnezzar doing what these Babylonian kings are wont to do. They often want to extol not only themselves, but also their gods. And I think completely contrary to his intention toward these 3, Nebuchadnezzar finds himself at odds with the true God. How does God rescue these 3 men that stand unwilling to bow to Nebuchadnezzar's image, to Nebuchadnezzar's pagan god? How does he rescue them? It is not by sparing them the fiery furnace. They spend some time in there. It is not by letting them escape the flames. They walk in the midst of the flames. How does he rescue them out of the fiery furnace, and what is this story all about? Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson on this Monday afternoon, November the 4th, Pastor Tom Baker. He'll be with us, and you can join us as well with questions or comments, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at @issuesetc. We base all our conversations with Pastor Tom Baker every time we teach a Sunday school lesson with him on a great Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House. It covers all of the typical Sunday school lessons, but there's a difference. It's not in necessarily the stories that it tells, but in the emphasis that it finds in each of those, Old Testament and New Testament. It's called Growing in Christ because it's Christ-centered, cross-focused. Find out more about Growing in Christ at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand or call Concordia Publishing House and they will send you a free sample of Growing in Christ. You'll see for yourself. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Pastor Tom Baker is a regular guest. He's Director of Development for the Concordia Mission Society. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd.
Tom, this is often told as a story of the intrepid faith, the courage of these 3 men. Is that what this story is about?
Nothing in the Bible is about our faith or our courage. It's always about God. And I really appreciated the way Concordia Publishing House material put it. I'm going to quote them, and then I move off from there. They say, the source of the 3 men's confidence on unwavering faithfulness is not their faithfulness as much as God's faithfulness. In other words, it was the word that they trusted, the word that reminded them that this was the God who had taken their people through the Red Sea, who had defeated the Canaanites, who had built the Solomonic Temple, until, of course, people fell into unbelief and therefore were taken into Babylonian captivity. This is the God that Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego trusted, and that's what made them faithful, not their own confidence or self-faithfulness.
So it's really a biblical understanding of what faith actually is. Faith not as some sort of power in myself, some sort of confidence in my own beliefs, or in this case, ability to withstand the king's order, but it's something else. What is it?
Yes, what you just described is called fideism, where you have faith in faith. And unfortunately, some of us say that somebody will say, why do you know you're going to heaven? And you'll say, oh, because I have faith. And that's wrong. You're going to heaven because of what Jesus Christ has done. Faith is simply the vehicle where you have appropriated the benefits and the gifts from God. Faith is not the foundation of your salvation. Jesus Christ is the foundation of your salvation. And therefore, Daniel, even though they have been taken into captivity, they still believe the Abrahamic promises that through the seed of Abraham would come the Messiah. And it was that strengthened them, as we're going to see in a few minutes.
Okay, set a little context for us, and you've given us just a touch of it already, lest we just kind of drop ourselves down into the middle of the story without understanding how these young men came to be in the position they are, what relationship they already have with this King Nebuchadnezzar, who is, at least at the time, the most powerful man on earth. How have we come to this particular story?
Well, he was the emperor of Babylon, and it was a huge empire stretched from Egypt into Persia. They were the central location for world commerce. And just as the northern kingdoms, the 10 tribes, had been defeated earlier, God now used Babylon in 586 B.C. to take into captivity the southern tribe, Judah, Levi. And what happened, Nebuchadnezzar chose the very best people to take into exile. And that's why Daniel and his three friends were chosen. And this is where we have it now. This is prior to the next person, and that would be Cyrus, who's going to allow them to go back to rebuild the temple under Zerubbabel and so forth. So they're in Babylonian captivity, and yet the faith of Daniel, as well as the three men, are shown to be quite spectacular.
And should we note, Tom, that they are being groomed for the court of Nebuchadnezzar, and they don't necessarily, the four men actually, Daniel and his three friends, going by these various names, don't necessarily resist that, but they do resist anything that would smack of adopting the faith of the Babylonians.
Yes. For a long time, I had this memorized. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. There's a song about it. But it wasn't until I grew up a little bit and learned more that these were actually Chaldean names. Their original Hebrew names were Hananiah, which means God has favored, Mishael, which means who is what God is, and Azariah, which means Yahweh has helped. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, when he took these people into Babylonian captivity, he would often change their names, and their names were Chaldean and often affiliated with idols of the Babylonians. So that Shadrach really means command of the moon god. Meshach is guest of the king, and that's, of course, Nebuchadnezzar. And Abednego means servant of the god Nergal. Now, they continue to use these names. In fact, all of Daniel uses the Chaldean names because that's how they're referred to by Nebuchadnezzar. So if somebody's going to, you know, change your name, that's one thing. But as you so well pointed out, that doesn't mean that you're entitled to change the worship of the true God, and that's where they drew the line.
What is Nebuchadnezzar doing when he sets up this image? It's a little difficult to figure out exactly what it is. Could be an image of him, could be an image of just some other god, or it could be just some sort of an image to be revered. What's he doing?
This is 90 feet tall, 9 feet in diameter, and some scholars consider it to be of the Babylonian god Bel, B-E-L. But in reality, what Nebuchadnezzar is doing is when you bow down to this God, which is his personal God, you're even bowing down to him. And there's a number of times when he is addressed as though he were a god. For example, in verse 9, the people declare to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever." Now, that's not something you say to a human being who's going to die. But like a lot of the Egyptian pharaohs, they thought they would live together forever, and that's what Nebuchadnezzar is doing. And you see a number of things where he takes great power in the political realm beyond what God would want him to do in order to show that, in a sense, he's really the God that they need to trust in.
With about a minute and a half before we take our break, the king commands that everyone, all of his officials, if you will, are to bow down to this image. And anyone who doesn't will be thrown into the fiery furnace. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refuse to do this, and they kind of get tattled on, turned in by some of the king's men. Tell us the story with about a minute or so before we take a break.
Yes, it appears that Daniel wasn't near the event when it took place. That's why he's not mentioned, just the three of them. And, of course, in verse 8, it says, "Certain Chaldeans came forward and maliciously accused the Jews." Now, obviously, they were very jealous because these Jewish young men had higher stations in the political realm than did some of the Chaldeans. So they were trying to find a way to get rid of them, and they were going to hold Nebuchadnezzar to his word that because they didn't bow down, they would be cast into a burning, fiery furnace.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson. It's Monday, November the 4th. We're in Daniel chapter 3, The Three Men in the Fiery Furnace. We'll continue right after this.
It was Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Proper Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Proper Christum at shop.logia.org. Proper Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.
Mount Zion Lutheran Church in Greenfield, Wisconsin, is a congregation of those gathered by the Spirit of the Lord around His saving Word and sacraments. At the center of our life together is the divine service of the risen Jesus, the Lamb of God who was slain, who takes away the sin of the world. If you are in the Milwaukee area, we invite you to share with us in our Lord's gifts of forgiveness and new life. Services are on Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9 a.m. For more information, visit our website at MountZionGreenfield.org.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, Coordinator for Stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship. The St. Michael's Singers with the hymn From All That Dwell Below the Skies. It's playing right now on our 24/7 sacred music station, Lutheran Public Radio. Here's what Judy wrote recently about Lutheran Public Radio. Judy says, I can only say thank you for your radio station. It is wonderful, such beautiful music from children to adult. I cannot help but praise my Lord God, for in the voices of his people, his wonder and amazement ring out over all the nations. It has become food for when I am weary and brings joy, for our Lord is so exalted. Thank you for all your willingness to serve Jesus with all that he has blessed you with. I have surely been blessed. She's talking there about our 24/7 sacred music station, LutheranPublicRadio.org. It's absolutely free. You hear the beauty of the music. That's 24/7, folks. You can listen anytime, LutheranPublicRadio.org. And it follows the course of the church here. Listen tonight, LutheranPublicRadio.org. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson in Daniel chapter 3, the three men in the fiery furnace. The king has issued his edict. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have not complied. The word has come to him. He gives them another chance to do it, but they say, no, if you got to throw us into the furnace, throw us into the furnace. Pick it up there, Tom.
Yes. We need to be a little careful here to give the impression to the children that when they are going to be faced with something like a fiery temptation or even death, that God is going to deliver them. The Hebrew is very clear in verse 17 of chapter 3. Here's what they say. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. And there's actually a Hebrew word for is able, which means they have perfect confidence that if God so chooses, he will be able to deliver them. But the fact that they are not absolutely sure, because they don't have any promise to that, is found in verse 18, where they go on and they say, but if not, that is, if he does not deliver us, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. And the reason that they're able to say that, they know they're in a no-lose situation. If they are delivered from the fiery furnace, they will be alive. And if they are not delivered from the fiery service, they will be alive. Because we've already had Job, who talks about with his own flesh, he will see God, his own eyes. And we have David, who says that, yes, his son, who died because of the illicit relationship with Bathsheba, will not come back to me, but I will go to him. So there is a very clear teaching in the Old Testament books of the resurrection from the dead of believers. And that's why they're able to be confident, because once more, they know God is faithful. Not because they have such great faith, but because they trust in a God who is faithful.
So it's not in their ability to survive the fiery furnace. That's pretty ridiculous.
Yes.
And it's not even in the fact that God would necessarily do what he ends up doing here, which is preserving them physically alive through the flames of the furnace, but that God is able to save them and that nonetheless they will live.
Yes, and we need to be very careful that God's promises are never so certain that we're going to be delivered from some calamity or something that we're going to be facing. But his promises, he will never even allow a temptation beyond what we are able to endure as we cling to the promises of Jesus Christ. Christians are in a no-lose situation. We are constantly being blessed because the word blessing simply means that God is keeping his promises, and that's important to get across to the little children.
Is another important thing to emphasize with them that regardless of their confidence here in God, they are not going to compromise, because I am certain that the king, like he does with Daniel in a separate account, really wants them. He doesn't want to throw someone into the fiery furnace. He wants them to comply. I'm sure that they're being told on every side, just bow down. It's no big deal. That's all the king is asking you to do.
Yes, the art of compromise. I was in a Bible study recently when I said that if I was threatened with torture, you know, I probably would deny Jesus in about a minute. And the people there were shocked that I said that. But I truly believe that God never puts you into a situation until he gives you the spiritual adrenaline to get through that. There was a lady once who had a car accident, and the car ran over on her child, and she actually lifted the car off of her child. She doesn't have strength like that, but she received physical adrenaline. Well, we receive spiritual adrenaline. It is said that the Christians who were devoured by the lions did so, some of them with a smile on their face, because God gave them the strength to endure that. Any Christian who thinks, I can get through anything, you know, I'm not worried, that's boasting in yourself. But there's a promise that God will never leave you nor forsake you. And so I hope that I would be strong enough, if I was ever really tortured, to deny Jesus Christ, that I would not. But to say that I feel strong enough right now to do that is kind of foolishness. So God gives the strength when needed, I think is a very important point to make also about this true event.
Well, Tom, I think you'd agree with me that, I mean, I was recently addressing a group, and I made a statement that some found equally shocking. I said, if God withdraws his word and his spirit from me, I stop being a Christian right now, period.
Yes.
I mean, the only thing keeping me a Christian is the power of God's word, the spirit working through that word. If that is taken away, I immediately become a rank pagan. I can tell you with equal confidence that if God does not provide the strength, I don't even wake up a Christian tomorrow, and I'm sure you'd agree.
I not only agree, but that means all of our witnessing needs to be using the gospel, which is the power of salvation through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why it's so important to keep in the word, keep the word straight, get the word out.
So in the face of the apparent calm of these three men, the king grows even more furious and orders them not only to be thrown into the furnace, but to heat the furnace beyond what its specifications would allow, so much so that those who escort them to the furnace are killed. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what happens to them?
Well, he heats the furnace seven times. And in the Bible, the word seven appears 309 times. And it's just great to pick up a concordance and see how many times that number appears. Like, it's seven pairs of clean animals that are taken into the ark. Abraham set seven ewe lambs of the flock apart for sacrifice. In the dream, there were seven cows, if you remember, with Pharaoh. I mean, it's time and time and time again. Now, whether or not Nebuchadnezzar knew this or was thinking of it, it doesn't really matter, because God is the one behind this. I can just imagine God thinking among themselves, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you know, we're going to give a way to show Nebuchadnezzar who is the true God. Let's have him heat the fire not just twice, seven times, and it'll be so hot that the men who throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into it, they themselves die from the heat. Now, we believe that they were thrown at the top. So they went up and threw them into the fire, and then later on, the door that you would open at the bottom of this pit or whatever it was, or hill, that would be opened, and there Nebuchadnezzar not only saw three men walking around, he saw four men walking around.
Who is that fourth man?
I don't have any problem thinking it's Jesus, because Nebuchadnezzar even uses a phraseology when he is astonished, and he says the fourth is like a son of the gods. And he later comes to not only have trust in that God, but he even makes some rules that anybody who denounces the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb, their houses laid in ruins. And here he says this, for there is no other God, and he uses the word for God, El, who is able to rescue in this way. So what we have here is God providing the necessary assurance to Nebuchadnezzar, just as he did when he had the people go through the Red Sea, when he took them through the wilderness and their shoes didn't even get old, when they captured Jericho just by noise. This is a God that is the only true God.
It's a kind of first-order miracle, if you will, where... It's not just that it could have been pulled off by some other means, but they're pulled out of the furnace. Their clothes aren't singed. Their hair isn't singed. I burn the hair off the back of my hand every time I grill hamburgers.
Yeah.
And that's no furnace. They emerge completely unscathed. What does that mean?
It means that there was only one who could deliver them. And Nebuchadnezzar even admits that in verse 28 of chapter 3. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him and set aside the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God. Now, what is really important about that is to realize that this is how God makes himself known. He does something utterly spectacular. And, of course, for us, we look to the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson, Daniel chapter 3, the three men in the fiery furnace.
Held on to the will of God, so we are told. Would not bow, they would not bow the knees to the idols made of gold. Would not burn, they were protected by the fourth man in the fire. They wouldn't bend, wouldn't bow, they wouldn't burn.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Heritage Lutheran, Valparaiso, Indiana. Mount Olive Lutheran, Duluth, Minnesota. Our Savior's Lutheran, Windham, Minnesota. St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin. Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California. St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa. St. John Lutheran, Yuma, Colorado. Christ Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri, and Redeemer Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
South Africa.
China.
Germany.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world? India.
Sweden.
Egypt.
France.
Turkey.
Japan.
Australia.
Canada.
United Kingdom.
Hong Kong.
Austria.
Finland.
Malaysia.
Singapore.
Bulgaria.
Korea.
Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234, LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines,
Mexico,
Spain,
New Zealand,
Kuwait.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. It's Monday afternoon, November the 4th. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson today, Daniel chapter 3, The Three Men in the Fiery Furnace. Tom, I'm intrigued by something that you shared with us before the break, and that was how the king describes what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have done. And to focus on just one part of what he says there, it says, who trusted in him, that is, in their God, and set aside the king's command. Now, I wonder whether or not we're witnessing here, at least in part, a battle of two different commands. You have the king's command, and then you have God's command. One of them has to give. Is that what's going on here?
Yes. In fact, there's even a Bible verse we find in the New Testament when the apostles are told not to preach Christ and him crucified, and they say, we must obey God rather than man. Now, this doesn't happen too often in this country. I don't think I've ever been in a position where I have to disobey the government in order to preach Christ. But in Kazakhstan and Kyrgyzstan and throughout many of the mission fields that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is involved, people are attacked and some are even killed because they preach Christ and him crucified. You know, there's some areas you're not even allowed to give a Bible out to someone. Now, what people do in those situations, that's up to their own conscience. But this is a item that the children really need to understand, because one of the most important things, and it's mentioned a number of times on Issues, etc., that 40% of youth who go to college stop going to church, and 50% of those never go back to church. The way to get around that is parents need to be having Bible studies at home with their children, not just taking them to church or taking them or sending them to Sunday school. And therefore, the Sunday school teacher can become a very, very important item. What I appreciate about the CPH material is they not only have a wonderful summary study, but they also have a student page and a family connection that the parents are supposed to go through these lessons with their children at home. And I really believe that that is important. I'll give you a quick story. And I heard this on, what was that? I think it was Dobson. A pastor didn't spend much time with his children because he was too busy. And later in life, he came to realize that he should have. And he phoned his 26-year-old son and asked him, would you be willing to have a Bible study with me over the phone, because they lived too far away, once a week? And he was waiting for his son to say, well, Dad, I'm just too busy with the three kids. And his son said, Dad, I'd love to do that. And according to the program, they've only missed 2 weeks out of the last 3 years. I'm confident when parents and Sunday school teachers, pastors, continue to teach this word of God to children, then they're going to be more prepared when they walk into the college classroom and suddenly hear somebody say, well, you know, there never even was somebody named Jesus Christ. It was made up by the Romans. And they, like I did, will laugh to themselves, knowing that that is false, and trust instead through the power of the Holy Spirit, the same way Daniel and those three young men did, in the Word of God.
Now, someone faces a situation that may be a rough parallel to what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego face, although without the same consequences or magnitude, or maybe some generations hence. Christians aren't as safe in confessing the Christian faith as they are today, and it may mean their business, their life, their livelihood. It may mean time in prison. It's not too long ago in history that was true for many Christians across the world, and even today. Even though someone may be thrown into prison or tortured or even martyred, is the same Christ still standing with them as he stood literally in that fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego?
Isaiah reminds us he does. Chapter 43, verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. And we understand that verse. The way we understand it is that even had the flames killed the three men, they still would not have been consumed because they would have been in the spirit with Jesus immediately. Or you have Psalm 91, verse 11. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. I think every pastor can give an experience where what he had hoped would happen did not happen, but as he looks back, the Lord guarded him in a way that he wasn't expecting, but his promise was still true. And probably the best, one of the best Bible verses, Psalm 146. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous, which is interesting because we become righteous because it is Christ's righteousness that we have been declared to have received. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. And we pray that even the little children say, praise the Lord.
Is it precisely this kind of promise that Christ himself, our Savior, clings to when he faces a trial, from the edict of his own father, a punishment and a death that he knows he will not be spared, that he must pass through, trusting these promises?
If you're thinking of what I'm thinking, the Garden of Gethsemane, you are absolutely right, where he finally says, but not my will, but thy will be done. And this is a great mystery to us because we also know it's the will of the Son and the Spirit, not just of the Father. But what Jesus was not looking for was the words from Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? And because God the Father forsook him because he had our sins on his shoulders, it means that God will never forsake us. No matter what we are experiencing here on earth, no, God will not forsake us. And so every time something strange happens in my life, I kind of just sit back and see, okay, what surprises have you got next, God? What's the next steps you're going to take? Which I'm quite sure I'm going to be surprised at because he's a God of surprises. But his promises are behind every one of those surprises. And that's why we have nothing to fear and everything to look forward to.
Many Christians do today and in the long history of the church have faced the flames and actually been burned up, faced the wild beast and been consumed, or yes, the edge of the sword and have shed their blood and died. Are they nonetheless delivered even as surely as these men were delivered?
They're absolutely delivered because that's what the Bible says, that those who have been martyred for the Lord are now awaiting that time when their bodies will be rejoined to their spirits. And they look forward to that. And right now, according to Revelation chapter 5, they are singing praises to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and to the one on the throne, God the Father, and his Son, Jesus Christ. And all that is done by the power of the Holy Spirit that is also mentioned in those very same passages.
With only about 30 seconds, what's the bottom line lesson in this for the children this week?
The bottom line is your parents love you so much that they know you're going to be faced at times with great obstacles and perhaps even persecution. But the more you understand how faithful God has been to you in the past and will in the future, then that's the source of your confidence and unwavering faithfulness, even when you are persecuted by, perhaps, even your friends.
Pastor Tom Baker joins us each week to teach a Sunday school lesson. Next week, we'll talk with Tom about Daniel in the Lion's Den. Tom, look forward to it. Thank you very much.
And thank you, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss a girl restored to life and a woman healed from a terrible disease, Matthew chapter 9. Pastor Randy Asbury of Hope Lutheran Church in St. Louis will be our guest. A special thanks to Redeemer Lutheran Church in Nashville, Tennessee, and their pastor, Pastor Philip Young, for supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through our congregational sponsorship program. We call it the Issues Etc. 300. Your congregation can join the Issues Etc. 300, and time is of the essence. I think right now, many congregations this very week are making those budget decisions that will impact 2014. We would like very much if your congregation would include Issues Etc. at $1,000 in your mission or advertising budget, and your congregation becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. To that end, we have a one-page flyer that you can download from our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. You'll see that one-page flyer. Print it off. Take it to your congregation. And when they're making those budget decisions this week or in the weeks to come, ask them to join the Issues Etc. 300. Thank you in advance for doing so. There are many Christians who have simply perished, physically perished in this life, trusting exactly as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that God is able to deliver them. That trust is that God is able to do this and that he will. Now, sometimes that deliverance comes in a miracle like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who emerge from the fiery furnace where they should have died and been consumed and reduced to ashes, but they aren't. And sometimes it awaits the resurrection, even after our body has been reduced to ashes, when Christ returns to raise it and deliver us, finally. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the divine service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
Arch Fitness of Greater St. Louis has a new fall schedule for adult boot camps and sports performance training classes. There's plenty of flexibility with workouts on weekday mornings, weekday evenings, or even Saturday mornings. Arch Fitness has a new, bigger location at 127 West MacArthur Drive in Cottage Hills, Illinois. For more information, check out the Facebook fan page for Arch Fitness or call Kevin Reisick at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois.